ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अहं क्रतुरहं यज्ञः स्वदाहम् अहम् औषधम् मन्त्रोऽहम् अहम् एवाज्यम् अहम् अग्निरहम् हुतम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But it is I who am the ritual, I am the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant, I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Eight time Krishna in one verse says I. Purport. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishtoma is also Krishna. And he also the Mahayagya mentioned in the Smriti. The oblation offered to the Pitriloka or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitriloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk products from offering in the sacrifices are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna, because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are also in total also Krishna. Or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. Next three verse. Pitamahasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara riksam ajure vacha. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable om. I am also the rig, the Sam and the Yajurvedas. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Suhurt Prabhu Pralayastanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. Tapamya aham aham varsham nigranam usrajamicha amritam chaiva mrityuscha sad asaschaham Arjuna. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Purport. Krishna, by his different energies, diffuses heat and light through the agency of electricity and the sun. During summer, it is Krishna who checks rain from falling from the sky. And during the rainy season, he gives unceasing torrents of rain. The energy which sustains us by prolonging the duration of our life is Krishna. And Krishna meets us at the end as death. By analyzing all these different energies of Krishna, one can ascertain that for Krishna there is no distinction between matter and spirit. Or in other words, he is both matter and spirit. In the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one therefore makes no such distinctions. He sees only Krishna in everything. Since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form comprising all material manifestation is also Krishna. And his pastimes in Vrindavan as two-handed Shyam Sundar playing on a flute are those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it is I who am the ritual, I am the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant, I am the butter and the fire and the offering. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable om. I am also the rig, the sama and the yajurvedas. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also the death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. So the very interesting part in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, and the whole, almost the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also speaks the same language as Krishna is speaking here. It may sound very arrogant when someone uses the word I in one verse 8 times. A small verse being used, the word I. A materialistic person may say, how can somebody so boastful about himself? But a devotee like Arjuna is, because this chapter Krishna says, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This chapter, basically what Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, in fact the whole middle 6 chapters, from 7th to 12th chapter, is Bhakti Yoga. That is the cream of the Bhagavad Gita. So what is that confidential knowledge? Confidential knowledge is not only about knowing in regards to the material manifestation of God. Confidential knowledge also means to know the personality of Godhead, His character, His behavior. How does He function? To know that God is in everything, God is everywhere, everything is happening because of His will, it's a mechanical understanding. Yes, it's a Shastric understanding, but it talks about how the world functions. But here, it also speaks about the attitude of God, attitude of Krishna. We have discussed this many times, that certain personalities exhibit certain character, certain qualities, and they are so steady, and people glorify that quality. Someone is humble, he cannot be arrogant. Somebody is non-violent, he cannot be violent. Someone who always speaks the truth, you can never make him speak untruth. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, to speak in one untruth was a big dilemma. He could not speak straight lie. He had to cover the lie with something else. Why? Because his character was very steady. Someone is so evil, like Ravana, they are steady with everybody. Whether it is one's own brother, like Vibhishan was his own brother, he didn't treat him nicely. When Vibhishan went against Ravana's proposal, he just acted meanly as he would act to anybody else. That was his character. So therefore, steadiness in character does not cause confusion. Duryodhan, you don't have to, you know, have a discussion, is he good or bad? Because you are steady in his character. Evil till the last breath. While dying also, he makes the point that, just see, Duryodhan, he was so evil, while dying he's saying, after all, what will you enjoy now? What is left to enjoy? So he's happy to know that the Pandava will not enjoy. From his point of view, enjoyment means what? That you have to control so many army, so many Akshoyani Saina. Now you don't have any more that kind of stuff. So he's happy, according to his perception, that Pandavas are not going to enjoy. So he did not change. What to speak of changing during death? While dying, he told one of a Brahmana, his name was Charvak. This was a different Charvak Muni. He told his Charvak Muni, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is being coronated, you should go and speak bad about Yudhishthira. Just see. And Charvak comes here and he blasphemes Yudhishthira Maharaj. on behalf of Duryodhan, who is very satisfied as a ghost, hopefully. That okay, yes. Then the other Brahmanas who are chanting Omkar mantra is the seed of everything. That same Omkar mantra, when you chant in a high pitch, Omkar becomes Humkar. There is a seed of destruction. So the Brahmanas who were chanting Omkar mantra in the sacrifice, they chanted Humkar mantra and Charvak was finished. And Krishna said, this was the person who was friend to Duryodhan. So here we see, we know, okay, there is no confusion in their behavior. But in regards to Krishna, one cannot say, you know, this is his character. As a person, besides being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have come up to 9 chapter. So till the 9th chapter, many times many of the devotees have confirmed, logically proved, shastrically proved. Nowadays some email is circulating everywhere, how scientifically also Krishna existed. It doesn't matter to us as a devotee. Some nuclear, what is that? Nuclear physician. He is a doctor and is trying to prove that Krishna did exist. Some devotional service is rendering. Trying to prove, he's not a mythological figure. But here in our Bhagavad Gita study, we've established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But let us focus on Krishna's behavior today. Krishna's behavior is based upon the situation. It is not that the situation makes him weak. Sometime, a living entity, based on the circumstance, if the circumstance is very strong, you know, he'll behave steadily. If the circumstance is bad, then he behaves badly. Sometimes people blame. Like today, I was discussing with our children the character of Kaikai. And I asked one student, you know, in the Ramayana there are certain characters, they are called as bad characters. Do you agree? One student said, actually Ravan was not so bad. He became angry when Ram asked Lakshman to cut off the nose of Shurpanaka. Then he became angry. Therefore he became revengeful. Otherwise he was a good guy. There is not one student. People have written books like that. That Ravan was not at all so bad. Actually wanted to test Sita. And then after proving that actually she is so great, he wanted to offer obeisances to Sita. Now this is not written by Valmiki, neither Tulsi, neither Bhoj in Champu Ramayana, nor the Kamba Ramayana by some South Indian. You don't find in any bona fide Ramayana. But they have to screw some imaginary meaning. Actually Ravan was good. Similarly Kaikai. Kaikai was very good. She was very good. But the circumstance forced her to behave like that. After all, every mother will think about her son. But actually she was not thinking about her son. If she had actually thought about her son, she would have not behaved like that. That means as a mother, she never understood her son. She misunderstood her son. If she had actually understood her son, she would have called, come Bharat, Ram is being coronated. She agreed to fall into the trap of mantra. One poet explains that Kaikai was like a small pure lake during the Shishir month. There are 6 seasons. So in the month of Shishir, it's summer season. If whatever water is there, less water is there. And because water is stored, there is not much flow, all the dirt is settled down. So water looks very clean. But the depth of water is very less. So apparently Kaikai looked like that. When Mantara came and told that, you know what, Ram is being declared to be coronated. So Kaikai said, very good news. Whether Ram or Bharat, it doesn't matter to me. Both are my sons. I got great affection for Ram. That was a clean lake with less depth. And then the poet says, But Mantara was like a buffalo. When the buffalo jumps into the water, which is very less, and what does buffalo does? Buffalo does not, is not satisfied simply making his leg wet. The buffalo has to roll the whole body. When the whole body rolls into the water, which is not very deep, all the dirt which is settled, all comes out. That was Kai Kai. Everything came out and actual dirt was exhibited. So people sympathize with Kai Kai. Oh, she acted only because the circumstance forced her. So here, most of the time, for us, we become slave of our surrounding. We become slave of our surrounding. And therefore, those who are ill-informed, they basically sympathize. Oh, what can he do? He's forced by the circumstance. The great hero, will go back to Karna again, in the Mahabharata. He is fighting along with six other Maharathis. There is Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, Vikarna, and then Jayadrath, Dushyasan, all the big guns are there. And they're fighting and Abhimanyu is striking them so badly. They're almost about to lose their life. Now you can say this is the circumstance. Karna goes to Dronacharya, says, come on, find some means where we can kill him. Dronacharya said, you can't fight him from the front. No chance. If you go in front of Abhimanyu, you'll simply become a dead corpse. You will die. He said, there is only one way you can defeat Karna. You go from behind. His armor is tied in a very special way, because that has been taught by his father, his uncle, Krishna, and his father also. And the knots are tied in such a way that you cannot kill him. You cannot untie it. But I know how to do it. Dronacharya told this to Karna, and he said, but I am not responsible. If you do it, I am not responsible. So Dronacharya is thinking that I will not be responsible. And Karna was thinking, Dronacharya has told me, I am doing it only because Dronacharya has told me. What is their situation? They became slave to their surrounding and at the same time give somebody else as a responsible. Blame game. So that is the nature of conditioned soul. I am not responsible. Somebody else is responsible. And he comes from behind. He cuts the armor of Abhimanyu. And Dronacharya shoots, Dushyasana shoots. So everybody perform a criminal activity there. And still people say, you know, what can be done? He was always forced by his surrounding, forced by his circumstance. But Krishna is the master of surrounding. That's what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate iti matva. Everything emanates from me. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, some reporter, if everything comes from God, does evil come from God? He said, yes, evil is the backside of God. His back. Just like sun is there, darkness cannot exist without sun. Even though darkness does not exist in the sun. There is no darkness in the sun, but darkness has no existence without the sun. That is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So evil does not exist in Krishna, but evil has no source without Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada said, yes, that is also coming from Krishna. But that is not there in him. We have to go much deeper to understand Chaitanya Charitamrita philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda. So Krishna, when he acts, when he behaves, it's easy to understand Buddha, non-violence philosophy. It's easy to understand some other personality. It's easy to understand Gandhiji. Sometime confusion is there when you discuss politics, non-violence philosophy. But when you say Krishna, Krishna behaves according to what is beneficial for dharma. So here when Krishna is speaking, apparently nobody ever speaks about his own achievements, if he is a humble person. In the Shastra that is explained, that when you boast your good activities, By boasting your good activities, all the pious credits are exhausted. Actually, the demigods tricked Yayati. Yayati was a great king coming in the line of Yadu dynasty only. Yayati was asked by demigods because they wanted him not to stay too long in the heavenly planets. So they asked him, what is the extent of your piety? He had done so many pious activities, there was no limit how much he had done. He could stay in the heavenly planets for so long. So Yayati fell to the trap. When the demigod asked him, what is the extent of your pious activity? He started explaining his pious activities. You know, I have done this. I opened 600 wells. I did this many, I planted this many trees. I did so much of charitable work. So Shastra says, by speaking about your charitable activities, which you have actually done, most politicians don't do anything. They only take credit. There is a lie and plus they boast. You can imagine what kind of reaction is there. Yayati had actually performed pious activities, but when he spoke about his pious activities, the Shastra says, Yayati fell from the heavenly planets. All his pious activities were exhausted. One should not hear one's praise, what to speak of oneself praising, boasting. And it is also proper etiquette. Forget good karma, bad karma. A gentleman would never do that. He would not speak about himself. Then why does Krishna speak here? Krishna is the most refined gentleman. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Uddhav and Vidura met with each other, Krishna had gone back to the spiritual world and Vidura came after his journey, after traveling so many holy places. When he came, he met Uddhav and he asked about Krishna, my dear Uddhav, can you speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Uddhav had tears in his eyes. He was remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, Vidur, what can I say about the Lord? He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was like moon. Where does the moon appear from? Moon appears from the ocean. But the other fish, they feel, oh, he's also one of us only. So similarly, we were thinking Krishna to be one amongst us, ordinary. We did not take him seriously. We took him for granted. We did not take him seriously. We did not worship him properly. He said, my Lord is so kind, so generous, so soft. When he established Ugrasen as the king, there are kingmakers. When the kingmakers make somebody as a king, they still have that subtle false ego. You know, they make the king also act like a slave to them. Even though they officially they are not the king. Officially they are not prime minister. Somebody else is the prime minister. So the prime minister has to bow down, offer respects. But they feel, okay, you are the prime minister. They don't. But Krishna, Uddhav is remembering his. He said, Ugrasen, Krishna is asking Ugrasen, my dear Lord, what can I do for you? What service is there for us to perform? He is begging forgiveness from his parents. Oh, I did not serve you nicely. He said, when we hear such words from the Supreme Lord, who is so gentle, Uddhav says, you know, I become so overwhelmed. I can't stand this, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could go to such an extent in the sacrifice of the Rajasuya, one of the beautiful chapters. The Rajasuya sacrifice brings out Krishna's glories. Bhishma Dev, pages after pages in the Mahabharata, describes all the incarnations of the Lord so that Shishupal can hear some nectar. But that nectar was not nectar for him, it was a poison. He did not take it seriously. And what was Krishna doing? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was supposed to be worshipped as the Agra Puja. Before the Agra Puja happened to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, so humbly, going to every sage, and not every sage is a devotee. Some sages are Jnanis, some sages are Mayavadis. Even in Vedic scripture, there are atheistic sages. Charvak Muni, he is a sage. Brahaspati, he is the originator of atheistic philosophy. So all these people are there. Krishna does not make any discrimination. He is a devotee sage. He is an atheistic sage. I will pull his leg. No. Anyone who comes to Yudhishthira Maharaj's assembly, Mahabharata explains, Krishna washed their feet. He was doing humble service. But at the same time, when Shishupal acted wrongly, Krishna cut off his head. So there is unsteadiness in behavior. But not because his senses are not controlled. Because whatever Krishna does, he thinks from how it is benefit to the world. He is not attached to particular kind of behavior. He is attached to particular kind of results. And to get that result, the Lord is willing to act exactly opposite. He is humble, who would not take any credit. But here Krishna is saying, I am this, I am that. Why? Because that is the need of the hour. Arjuna need to hear this. One is, one can see its arrogance. Another one can see its compassion. Just like a patient is suffering, is about to die. And all the doctors are trying to revive the patient. And nobody is able to do it. And he finds some doctor coming. He has got some very rare medicine. And the doctors are giving up hope. They say, there is no hope. He's going to die now. Remove the life-saving machine. And this doctor comes to know that they're about to do it. So in emergency, in desperation, the doctor calls out, I got the medicine, I got the medicine. He might say 10 times, I got the medicine, I got the medicine. So can you call it arrogance? That call is a call for saving somebody's life. He has to say to the doctors, don't give up hope, I got this medicine. He rushes in. He just pushes other doctors aside. There may be some harshness in doing that. There may be some arrogance. He may be speaking loudly. But what is the benefit? The benefit is that medicine works. The patient survives. He continues to live many more years. And the doctor walks away without taking the fees. So he did what was needed, acted arrogantly, apparently, but the job was done. So therefore Krishna here, we discussed long back when we were studying the first chapter, one famous Christian priest, one who stayed in India for many years, he wrote a book, commented on Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh, this book is not simply a theology. It is not a philosophy. It's not just to discuss about, you know, this is what Jnana Marg is, Bhagavad Gita teaching, Karma Marg is teaching, Bhakti Marg is teaching, and somebody says Raj Marg is teaching, somebody says this Marg is teaching, and people have discussion, and the discussion becomes quarrel, and the quarrel becomes fight. But Bhagavad Gita is not like that. Bhagavad Gita, he said, it's a river of compassion. Whatever Krishna is speaking, it is not simply a confusing philosophy. Arjuna gets confused in the third chapter, he gets confused in the fifth chapter. The confusion is not created by Krishna. The confusion is caused to Arjuna because still has certain conditions. Arjuna still wants to withdraw from the battle. He wants to prove how that non-violence is better. Not performing his responsibility is higher level of occupation, which Krishna does not agree. So therefore, the confusion is not caused by Arjuna. Confusion is not caused by Krishna. Confusion is caused by Arjuna himself. But Krishna is willing to clarify that confusion. Till what time? Even when the 18th chapter is spoken, everything is concluded. Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. After doing all that, what does Lord say? My dear Arjuna, if you have not understood, I'm willing to speak again. I'm willing to speak the entire thing once again. Who can do like that? Which teacher, even those who take private tuition after paying lakhs of rupees, you know, they have limitation. You can't ask him, okay, you are supposed to teach me 2 to 4. I charge you lakh rupees per year. Private tuition. But if you ask him to teach from 4 to 5, he said, no, I have to go to somebody else. Already have taken fees. He will not extend more than 2 to 4. Why? Because there is a contract. I can only teach you private tuition 2 to 4, not beyond that. But Krishna is not charging anything to Arjuna. And still, after speaking the whole Bhagavad Gita, And it is not simply a theology, it's a song. Song coming from the heart of the Lord. And after speaking that, Krishna says, my dear Arjun, if you have not understood, I'm willing to speak once again. But Arjuna said, no, my Lord. All my confusions have eradicated. Nasto moho smurtir lagba tat prasadal mayachuta. He said, by your grace, I've understood everything. So therefore, it's but natural to understand Krishna's, it's natural that we get confused to understand Krishna's character. Even after becoming a devotee, somebody was asking, okay, we understand, you know, Krishna killed Kamsa. We understand Krishna killed so many demons. But why someone like that dhobi, the washerman of Kamsa, he was just doing his duty. What was he doing? He was doing his duty. Krishna goes, is it logical and reasonable? You go to somebody, a dhobi is walking, can I get your clothes? Naturally, dhobi will say, this is not your cloth, this is not my cloth, this is a king's cloth. So dhobi is told Krishna, hey, come on, you village boys. He was a little arrogant. After all, he's a dhobi, what do you expect? He can't be a gentleman. That's his nature to say, because he's talking unreasonable. Krishna is speaking unreasonable. Somebody asked this question. So dhobi became angry. Washerman became a little angry. And then what he did? Krishna, he killed that dhobi. He killed that washerman. He said, this I cannot understand. How can Krishna do like this? He is a small man working for somebody, doing his duty properly. Krishna is going and asking, how can dhobi know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I need to serve him. What is his fault? So it's Krishna's fault that Krishna killed him. So therefore, when these kind of question which Krishna will always raise, why should he steal butter? Why should he disrobe the gopis? Why should he play flute in the night and call so many gopis in the forest, and that to somebody else's wife? So Krishna, his activities means the why word has to be there all the time. But then, when we study Bhagavad Gita, when we study Shastra, then the why disappears. Then we take great delight in studying Krishna's pastime. We take great pleasure in understanding Krishna. When we understand him properly in the Mahabharata, basically, Krishna is confusing in Vrindavan, Krishna is confusing in Dwarka, Krishna is confusing Mathura, and Krishna is so much confusing in Kurukshetra, in the Mahabharata. What he did not do on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, 18 days, Mahabharata battle took place only 18 days. And those 18 days are most confusing. If people have any question about Krishna, they talk about these 18 days. Vrindavan Krishna spent almost 11 years. He stayed on that Kurukshetra for 18 days. And what he did not do? And what, how many questions he did not create in the minds of the people? But every question what people have raised, Shastra gives answer. The behavior of the Lord is befitting, beneficial to the Pandavas, the great devotees, following Dharma, and also benefiting to the Kauravas, which we don't understand. So therefore, we were discussing, we have a mind. And to understand our mind, nowadays, psychological problem is at high speed. It is explained that every third person has some mental problem. Therefore, there are more psychiatric doctors, psychologists. Every third person has a depression, you know, frustration, psychological thing. And what to speak of, you know, their mind, their intelligence functioning properly. It's difficult. That means we have difficulty understanding our own mind. We are controller of our mind, supposed to be. We are controller of our intelligence, supposed to be. We are controller of false ego. But we have no control. Just like if you are driving, you got best of the car. You have the steering wheel. You have got all the facilities to drive. But the brake fails. The steering wheel is not functioning. What happens? When you lose the control, you are inside the vehicle. And the vehicle is supposed to take you to some destination. It is not functioning properly. Not only not functioning properly, it is functioning dangerously.
The car will be destroyed and you will be destroyed. So our mind is like that. Functioning, it is not that it is not functioning, it is functioning dangerously, taking us to so many different directions. Therefore, one great devotee said, Ganapati or Vinayak. Vinayak means Vigatanayaka. He is the master of the misdirected. He has to bring them. One is not knowing your direction. But secondly, going to direction which has no proper destination. That is very dangerous. You know, you are decided to come to the temple, but you take the route which goes to the cremation ground. That is very dangerous. So that is not proper direction. So here, whatever Krishna is talking in the Mahabharata, so mind, our mind is so uncontrolled, confusing, destructive, dangerous. And with this mind, with this intelligence, with this false ego, you are trying to understand God's mind. You are trying to understand the activities of God. You are trying to understand the Supreme Personality of God. What a dangerous proposition. With a dangerous mind, with a dangerous intelligence, with a deadly false ego, we try to understand Krishna's mind, which is limitless. Krishna's mind is as fast as our dangerous mind. But his mind, which is working so fast, not like a restless mind, full control. He knows what he is doing. Just imagine, we function according to the circumstance. Krishna functions according to the circumstance, but his control over circumstance, we have no control over circumstance. Therefore, we are jivas and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, these verses what Krishna is speaking, it is simply for the benefit of his student Arjuna. I am everywhere. How can you avoid me? That is one way to say. Krishna is saying, you can't avoid me. Another way to say, Arjuna, be assured that wherever you glance, there is an assurance for you. Why? Because I am there. And this is what devotees are looking. Looking for Krishna in Dwarka ocean is not very intelligent. It's a waste of money. Because that goes against the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Okay, Krishna means must be, he should have been only in Dwarka. Let us find his palace. Let us find, because in Prabhasa Kshetra, you know, people talk about, because in Hinduism there is a cremation. So anyway, nobody will find the bones of any warriors. So therefore, so they are talking about finding the bones of the warriors. They are talking, they are trying to find the bones of God. Just imagine. And based upon that, they want to do some scientific research. And only going to Dwarka and to find out, oh, this must be the place. Let us find, if Krishna is found there through certain, you know, leftovers, then we will declare that the Supreme Lord exists, God exists, or Krishna existed. No, that is not our philosophy. Because according to Krishna, he said, you can find Krishna everywhere. The story is there. One cobbler, he was a great devotee of the Lord. He was a great devotee of the Lord, and every day, you know, a cobbler keeps his leather. If you go to a village, and in the primitive cobbler shop, there is a black container made of wood. And then he soaks leather in that. And then he has a rock in that container also. And the rock has to be as soft as possible. And then he gives massage to that leather, to make that leather soft. So this cobbler was a kind of a devotee. When he would massage, when he would, you know, rub the rock with the leather with the rock, he would chant the names of God. He would sing beautiful holy names. And that rock, because of massaging regularly, soaking it in the water, which is the black rock, it looked like Shaligram Shila. It was not Shaligram Shila. Some say it was a Shaligram Shila. One Brahmana came there and he assumed it's a Shaligram Shila. And he was very angry with the cobbler. He said, you fool, you know, you are a cobbler, your mentality is the mentality of only thinking about leather. So he chastised him and he took that Shila, placed it on the altar, worshipped it, but he had a dream. The Lord came in his dream, he said, actually I am not Shaligram. But because he was chanting my name so nicely, I entered into that rock. And I was finding such an amazing experience with him. He was not only massaging my heart, he was massaging my body also. Place him back, place me back there in that container. I don't want to stay on your altar. So Lord can come in that container also. Just see, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is willing to dance on our tongue. It's not a very good place to keep somebody. It is said, our tongue, if you sleep with the grains in your mouth and get up in the morning and spit it, if the bird flies and eats that grain, the bird will drop dead because we have such a poison within our system. That the whole thing becomes poisonous. But Krishna is willing to stay on the tongue. Not only stay and feel suffocated, he is willing to dance when we chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So therefore, the behavior of the Lord being very soft or being very harsh is beneficial to us. Krishna being very truthful or untruthful is very beneficial to us. As a Supreme Personality of God, he has full independence to behave the way he behaves. But he is not egomaniac. Somebody has a power. You know, if someone has a great power, basically they exploit those who are under them, act unreasonably, act illogically. Like one of our devotees was saying, we were discussing in our children's class, in the French Revolution, and there was revolution before that, the queen was asked, she was told, you know what? He said, our people are suffering, they don't have bread to eat. She said, let them eat cake. Just see. She was so arrogant because of her wealth, because her aristocracy and luxury. She, not that she was being sarcastic, she was so unaware of her surrounding. She is telling her minister, if they don't have bread to eat, let them eat cake. So how can you stand that? She became so desensitized. But Krishna is not like that. He is not arrogant because he likes to be arrogant. It's not that he is good because his mood is there to be good. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could be acting independently. He's Abhigya and Swarat. But more than using that quality of being Abhigya and Swarat, what does he do? He does benefit to his devotees. He does benefit to his non-devotees also. So whatever is required, he utilizes. He could be arrogant while speaking Bhagavad Gita and he could be soft while addressing his father or addressing Ugrasen. Therefore, when we understand this foundational aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his behavior is not contradictory, his behavior is not circumstantial like our circumstance. We are the slave of the circumstance, but Krishna is the master of circumstance. One poet says, this is not there in the Mahabharata, but one can extend, but it is facilitating the concept of the Mahabharata. Now everybody is killed, Pandavas are performing their last rites, all the diseased people, and Kunti, you know, there are people for Kauravas to perform, Pandavas people are being performed by the Pandavas, and there is nobody for Karna. All the sons of Karna are killed. And Kunti says, perform for this person also. He said, why? He said, why should I perform for him? He's our greatest enemy. And Kunti breaks down. She said, no, he's not your enemy, he's your brother. So he breaks down. He said, why did you not tell this? He said, you were hiding this secret, therefore I curse all the womanhood. One person's mistake, which he felt it was a mistake, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was cursing the entire women race. That is unfair. So one poet says, Krishna was angry with Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, what? He said, you are seeing him as your brother, not as a villain, not as an evil person. He said, you are feeling angry with Kunti because you were responsible for the death of Karna, just because his brother he changes, he becomes a good personality? No. He deserves to be killed whether he is your brother or not your brother. Try to understand that. Because he was on the evil side, I gave him the choice, I told him, it is not that he was not given a chance. But knowing very well your behavior, oh, he's my brother, so therefore I'm not going to do anything. No. He was party to the evil, whether he's a brother or not, he has to be dealt according to the principle of dharma. Therefore, there is no fault in Kunti. It is your fault that you are trying to be sympathizing with someone who does not deserve to be sympathized, but we can perform last rites to him. Because last rites are performed to the soul, not to the body. Like during Ramayana also, Vibhishan was told by Ram. He said, Ravan is dead now, he's gone. The evil act which he was performing, that vehicle, this body is destroyed. Now you give benefit by performing final rites to that soul, that entity which was diseased because of that material body. That is gone now. You perform this final rites. And of course, Vibhishan was willing to do it. So therefore, Krishna's anger is not permanent. And Krishna's kindness to his devotees is kind as long as devotees respond to his behavior. Someone who was in Ram Lila acted as a friend to Ram, but in Krishna Lila, he became a demon. So Krishna remembered his service, but that body of Bilwal was not beneficial. Why? He was acting meanly, he was acting demonically. So he had to be killed. He had offended Balramji, he had offended Lakshman, therefore he had to be given that punishment. But whether Krishna's punishment or kindness, Prabhupada explains, he gave one lecture, again in the story of Rajasuya sacrifice. He said, Krishna's killing and Krishna's saving, there is no difference. There is no difference in Krishna's killing or Krishna's saving. So therefore, understanding the foundational principle, not the superficial behavior. There is no superficial behavior of the Lord. Therefore, Prabhupada writes here, there is matter and spirit are one and the same for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference. For us, we have to make matter into spirit. And for us, sometimes spirit becomes matter. Like Nalakwar and Manigriva, they are taking bath in Ganga. People go to take bath in Ganga to get spiritual benefits. But that very Ganga, which gives spiritual benefit, became a material for Nalakwar and Manigriva. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, what is spiritual and what is material is all depends upon one's intention. But for Krishna it is not like that. Because Krishna is Sachidanand Vigraha. Whatever he does, somebody asks Prabhupada, Chinnaji Prabhu says this. He said when he was reading Bhagavatam or Mahabharata, when he read, when Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna, and Krishna's body was becoming, blood was coming out from his body, he was bleeding. Now one may say, how can the Supreme Lord's body bleed? If it is a transcendental body which is not made of flesh, which is not made of blood, how can it bleed? Prabhupada gave a very simple answer. He said, Krishna can make spiritual into matter and matter into spiritual. So at this point of time, because he wanted to respond to the great devotee of himself, Bhishma Dev, who was in the mood of heroic ras, by seeing the blood, his devotion to Krishna will increase. Very strange kind of, you know, rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only he can do like that. He can shoot arrows at Krishna and still be liked by the Lord. So when Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna, it is not that the arrows were going transparent through and through. No, actually they are piercing the Lord. And the blood was oozing out of his body. And therefore, it's bewildering. But Prabhupada said very simply, Krishna can make matter into spirit and spirit into matter. Therefore, when we come to the temple, one may say, why someone is worshipping a statue, spending so much of money? No, he has already made that matter into spirit. When Lord Chaitanya would stand in front of Jagannath temple, and not close. He didn't need to stay very close to Lord Jagannath to experience ecstasy. Rather, he stayed away from Lord Jagannath because he didn't want to feel too much of ecstasy. He was told by Sarvam Bhattacharya, you stay. So Lord Chaitanya would stay far away from Lord Jagannath, near Garuda Stambha. And what he would do? He would cry tears. He was not seeing Lord Jagannath as made of wood. He was seeing Lord Jagannath as Krishna. He was seeing Lord Jagannath and he would cry tears. So much of tears would come from his eyes. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Pratima Nahitumi Sakshat Brajendra Nandan. My Lord, you are not a statue, but actually you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, son of Nanda Maharaj. The Lord coming from the mother's womb may sound material. No, he can transfer the whole spiritual world in the womb of Mother Devaki. He has the power. So therefore, wherever Lord moves, that becomes the holy place. Therefore, Advaita Acharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu said, what is this? Nityananda has cheated me. I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but you have brought me to Navadvip. What did Advaita Acharya said? My Lord, wherever you place your foot, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of God, and even a great devotee, wherever he puts his foot, that becomes the holy Tirtha. If you go to 26 Second Avenue, New York, what is it? It's an ordinary, any other American, especially New York. Even many Americans, they are scared to come to New York. I met some Americans, they said, oh, New York, we would never try to go there. It's a crazy city. For us, America is a crazy country. For Americans, New York is a crazy place. And that to that place where Prabhupada started his 26, his preaching mission, you know, very close to Bowery, East Village side, all kind of strange things would happen there. But because he placed his foot there, he started a center. One devotee was telling me, when he first time he came to 26 Second Avenue, when he put his foot inside, when he offered his obeisances, it's a small storefront, very small place. There is nothing. It's not that there is a tamal tree, there is a kadamba tree, and tulsi is there, and then champa flowers are there, and you are hearing the sweet breeze of coming from Jamuna Lake. Rather, there are so many restaurants which, you know, create obnoxious smell. But when he came inside that place, this devotee was telling, he said he could not control. He started crying. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He said, I am not very sentimental. I make others cry, but I never cry. He said, but when I placed my foot in that place, he said, I started crying. Why? Because the vibration of the source of preaching Krishna consciousness mission, the compassion, the kindness, the magnanimity was all there. It is just like Gomuk. When you go to Gomuk or you go to Godavari, where the water begins, the river begins, it comes in drops, little drops. And that Godavari river, if you go to south, where Lord Chaitanya discussed with Ramananda Roy, it's a huge body of water. But how does it begin? It begins with so little. So in 26 Second Avenue, someone, a great devotee, could create Tirtha. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Anything what he does is pure. When we have this conviction, then we never ask this question, why Krishna killed that dhobi? Why Krishna did this to this personality? Why Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj, you never lie, to say lie? In that lie, there is a delight. There is ecstasy. There is happiness. There is a pleasure. That lie can take us back to the spiritual world, more than the relative truth. Krishna's violence can take us back to the spiritual world, more than the non-violence of Buddha. But Krishna is not attached to either violence or non-violence. And that's what Bhagavad Gita has been presented. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. He could speak philosophy on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Sometime to study Shastra, if you are managing, if you are part of the management, you say, no, I'm doing too much of management, I can't study Shastra. Because my mood is not there. I have to change my mood. And somebody who is doing Shastra study, if you tell him to do something, he says, no, I'm studying Shastra, I can't take this burden. A person doing multitask becomes very difficult. Very few people can do multitasking. Somebody is doing a violent work. A warrior, if you ask him to be a doctor, even a doctor who has become a warrior on the same battlefield, he said, I can shoot people, I can kill people, but now don't ask me to, you know, save people. Now, you know, I'm in a different mood. You cannot do two contradictory things. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do it. He can kill here for a good cause and he can revive here. And there is no influence of this activity to this activity. They are totally independent. Why? Because nothing can influence Krishna. Therefore, the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita that the three gunas are affecting everybody. But he is a controller of the three modes of material nature. So how can three modes of material nature affect God? It does not. Therefore, when we understand from this point of view, do not drag God to our mundane level. Rather, we try to go to the spiritual level. Then reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavatam, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita simply becomes delight. We take great pleasure. When we see Krishna's pastime in a drama form, or when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the tears of joy comes from our eyes. One becomes very ecstatic hearing the pastime. Whether it is Mahabharata, as Prabhupada explains here, the universal manifestation, the gigantic universal manifestation is also Krishna, and one who is performing pastime in Vrindavan is also Krishna. So when we have that vision, like some people said, I accept Krishna one who spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but I don't accept Krishna one who told Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell the lie. That means you never understood Krishna. That is half hen logic. No, Krishna means you have to accept all Krishna. The gigantic Krishna, the annihilator Krishna, Mrityu and Amrit. Krishna is a killer. We accept that Krishna also. We accept Krishna one who is giving life. We accept that Krishna also. So when we accept all Krishna, no distinction. Krishna is one. There is no distinction. Some people have made this distinction. This Krishna is good, this Krishna is not so good, and this Krishna never existed. The Mahabharata Krishna, one who caused that battle, he never existed. Bhagavad Gita Krishna existed. Rasa Krishna is the imagination of some poets. No, for us, for a devotee, every Krishna, there is no many Krishna, there is only one Krishna. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And according to the mood of his devotee, he assumes different form. According to the mood of the demons, he responds to them. For Nalakwar and Manigriva, we will conclude. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, when Krishna came to the arena, comes as a wrestling arena, which was beautifully built, where thousands of people could watch. When Krishna came inside, everybody saw Krishna differently. The wrestlers saw Krishna to be thunderbolt. And the Brajabasis saw Krishna to be their very best friend. Those who were like parents, they saw Krishna to be their sons. So therefore, this is the vision. When we change our vision, then we can see Krishna accordingly. But as a theological understanding, as here Prabhupada beautifully writes, almost confusing purports, living entity is also Krishna, Aushad is also Krishna, oblation is also Krishna, this is also Krishna, that is also Krishna. Krishna is everything, but everything is not Krishna. Krishna is there in this Kartal, as is energy, but Kartal is not Krishna. That is Achinta Bheda Bheda philosophy. When we understand this, then our appreciation for Krishna, and what to speak of Krishna's holy name, which is the incarnation in this age of Kali. We can experience Krishna through his holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this way, the most confidential knowledge can be revealed to everybody. Just see, another feature of the Lord. Most confidential knowledge, but easily available to everybody. That's a contradiction. But that contradiction, because it is connected to Krishna, it can be reconciled. Something confidential means very few people will understand. But this confidential knowledge, I am sitting and speaking, you can sit and speak, you can tell somebody else. The whole world can know this confidential knowledge and still it will remain most confidential. That is the feature or the nature of Krishna's knowledge. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful discourse. Prabhuji, I was reading that sage is not called Muni unless his opinion is different. So why Muni is defined like that, because of which there is a room for speculation and contradiction?
No, that is one definition of Muni. One definition of Muni is that if it does not differ from others' opinion, then it is called as Muni. He is a logician. Narad Muni also is called as Muni. Angira Muni is also called as Muni. But they don't differ from the Gyan which they are receiving from Parampara. Narad Muni's guru is four Kumaras or Brahmaji. It is not that Narad Muni is, you know, speaking not according to Parampara. He may speak in the way which is appealing. That sense you can call him Muni. Giving the same knowledge while playing Veena. Brahmaji may not play Veena, but Narad Muni will play Veena and speak according to what is appealing to you. Therefore, that way a devotee can also be Muni. Prabhupada said simply parrot repetition will not work. One has to see what is beneficial to and what kind of people you are preaching. Based on that, what kind of people you are interacting. Somebody, a young baby, 2 years old, 3 years old, how will you give Krishna? You can say hopeless case. Ye to bachcha hai, janwar hai. You can deny giving the knowledge. Or you may see a blind man or a deaf person. You say, okay, he's a deaf. How can he understand Krishna? There is no way because I can't speak Bhagavad Gita to him. That is not the only way to give Krishna. A baby, you can give little prasad and be affectionate to the baby. That will influence the child. A deaf person, bring him, show him the temple. He doesn't need to hear the philosophy only. So therefore, according to whom you are interacting, you have to give. So from that point of view, Narad Muni could be Muni. Presenting like Mrigari, very beautiful point is explained. Narad Muni told Mrigari, when he saw Mrigari, he was a fierce hunter. There are different kinds of hunters also. And Mrigari's speciality was not killing, torturing. He would not shoot them to kill. He would shoot them to make suffer. He would shoot his arrows and make one wing of the bird fall off so that it could not fly. You know, break one of the leg by shooting arrows. So when Narad Muni came there, he saw all the birds and the animals were flapping their wings, flapping their body, suffering so much. By his glance, he let them go. And this hunter was very angry. But when he saw Narad Muni, complete change. He said, you want some skin, some leather? I got this leather, that leather, deer skin, this skin, that skin. Narad Muni said, no, I don't want any of those things. I want only one thing from you. What is it? He said, why don't you kill the animal fully? Why kill them half? Now I say, okay, Narad Muni has sanctioned that we can kill. If you say Narad Muni has given the sanction that I can kill, that is wrong. Because that hunter did not know the difference. He said, what is the difference between half killing and full killing? So Narad Muni had to make a PowerPoint presentation. And that PowerPoint presentation was real. It is not that we sit on the computer, make with a proper effect. No, it was alive. All the animals were coming. He did the same thing in the fourth cant also to Prachini Bharishat. He showed him all the animals which he had killed. They were coming to attack him. Mrigari, he said, you know, this is not fair. First he told, like Prabhupada told one devotee, he was a chain smoker. He would smoke so many cigarettes, he could never give up. Someone who's never spoken, you tell him, never smoke. But somebody is smoking, his life is, he breathes. I remember one student we had, you know, whatever money his parents would send, he would close all his hostel windows. Wherever there is a facility for air going out, he would close all that and sit in a room, carry 4 packs of cigarette and smoke one after another, one after another, one after another. And he was very careful to see that none of that smoke would go outside the window. And he would stay feeling some kind of ecstasy. And he would take some vada pav. That was his meal. Because all that money what he would get, he would smoke different kinds of. So to tell him now, give up immediately. That's a difficult. So what Prabhupada told him, he said, one cigarette less a day. That means Prabhupada is allowing, chalega cigarette smoking. You can smoke cigarette. Because that is the instruction he requires to give up. And eventually this person who was smoking one cigarette less a day, he gave up. Never in his life again he ever smoked cigarette. So that instruction is specifically meant for him. But one universal instruction of chanting Hare Krishna, everybody can chant, anywhere. So there is no muni in that. The mantra is there, you give. But in regards to prohibitions, there are different instructions. Now Krishna is talking about ghostly worship in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? That means at least the principle of bowing down is there. Somebody worships river, somebody worships mountain. One who has never had the understanding of worship, when he bows down, so at least the conditioning of worship is there. Kisi ko to jhuk raha hai. That means he has the potency of offering obeisances. When we see people are bowing down to politician, sad, one who is bowing down and one who is receiving the obeisances, both are sad. But at least the concept of bowing down is there. So take him to the right place, like Ramanujacharya, brilliant. It is not that Dhanurdas was an atheist, never went to the temple, he would go to the temple. But his service, he was so attracted by those two eyes. He said, this eyes I want to serve for the rest of my life. What an absorption. He would carry umbrella, serve her. And Ramanuja, when he saw, everybody else saw something else. Everybody saw attachment, obsession. Gaya hai, chala gaya, finished. There is no hope for him. But what did Ramanuja saw? Ramanuja said, what a quality he has. He has aesthetic sense. To worship God, you need to have an aesthetic sense also. He said he has that. He has the ability to be absorbed. And then, responding to these qualities, he has the ability to serve also. So nicely serving. So what others were seeing as attachment, obsession, Ramanujacharya saw great potential. He said, call him. And he couldn't hear. That to force, say, come on, Ramanuja is wanting you to come. He came. And Ramanujacharya told him, if I show you better eyes than this, what will you do? He said, I will serve that. I have never seen something better than this. So Ramanujacharya knew that he has the potential, propensity, then he took him to Ranganath. Now he is going along with Ramanujacharya. He had seen the eyes before, but now he is going with Ramanuja, and Ramanuja is going to see him. There was guaranteed that the heart would change. When he saw those eyes, he said, my God, I've never seen such thing. Even though he had seen every day. Along with his wife, he became a devotee of Ranganath. Hare Krishna, Shri Radha Gopinath ki.